Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together. I'll take that. Thank you, dear. Let's recite together the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. It's who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with hearts that long for your strength and for your peace. You have commanded us to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or discouraged, because you are there with us wherever we go. Lord, we confess that at times we feel overwhelmed by fear, uncertainty, and division. But today we choose to place our trust in you. Remind us that courage is not the absence of fear, but the confidence that you are near. Fill us with the assurance of your presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to stand firm in faith. Father, we lift up our nation before you. We are a deeply divided people, politically, culturally, and spiritually. Heal our land, O Lord, we pray. Replace bitterness with grace, anger with understanding, and pride with humility. Teach us to see one another through your eyes, to love as you love, to seek the common good that honors you. We also pray for peace throughout our world. So many nations are torn apart by war, hatred, and injustice. We ask you to intervene, Lord. Bring calm where there is chaos, compassion where there is cruelty, and reconciliation where there is revenge. May your peace rule over every nation and every heart. And Father, we pray specifically for Kevin Rideout, your faithful servant and missionary pilot that was taken captive in Niger, Africa this week due to some extremists. We ask for your mighty hand of protection on him. Surround him with your angels. Give him courage in the face of fear. Sustain him with your peace that passes all understanding. Soften the hearts of his captors and move swiftly to bring him home safely. Comfort and strengthen his family as they wait and pray, reminding them that you are their refuge and fortress. Lord, make us a courageous people, strong in faith, steadfast in love, unwavering in hope. Wherever we go this week, may we walk in the confidence that you are with us. Help us to live and love boldly for the sake of your kingdom. We pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. Good, yeah. I've just gone one Sunday. As long as you guys don't pull, you know, the children of Israel thing. You know, Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days. When he came back, they were all dancing naked around a golden cow. That would be discouraging, I got to tell you. Speaking of discouraging, today's message is don't be discouraged. What does it mean to be discouraged? To be discouraged literally means to lose courage. It's not just feeling down. It's when your inner strength, your confidence, and your boldness begin to fade. Have you lost your courage? Do you need to get your courage back? Maybe lately you've been battling anxiety, fear, or worry. Maybe the fire that once burned bright inside you feels more like a flicker. But here's the good news. What you've lost, you can get back. And you can overcome discouragement by practicing courage. So this morning, we're going to be reading from Joshua, the first chapter, verse 9. This is put it in context. Moses brings the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was a fairly short trip to the promised land where they were going to prosper and succeed. But they were stubborn, rebellious people, hence the aforementioned dancing around a cow. God stuck them out in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years because of their stubbornness. So that a new generation would grow up that weren't going to be stubborn. And they come now to the promised land. They're ready to cross into the new land that they're going to have to fight for. It's not going to come easy. The people there are going to resist. They don't care that God told them it's their promised land. They think it's their land. And it's going to be difficult. They don't know this land. They don't know the terrain. They don't know nothing. So it's got to be a little scary. And just before they go in, Moses, wonderful Moses, dies. So now Joshua is in charge. And now he's going to lead the people into the promised land. So that's the context here when we read in Joshua, the first chapter, verse 9. God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now check it out. It's not a suggestion. He commands courage. Wow. God is saying you can be strong. You can be courageous. And these words still apply to us thousands of years later. Why? Because courage for a Christian doesn't just come from what's around us, but what comes from within us. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you. When you truly understand that God is on your side, you can be courageous. It changes everything. He goes with you into every meeting, every doctor's visit, every confrontation, every new chapter you're facing. You're never alone. When you understand this, this will change your life. I don't know if you've ever been in a big city in some sketchy part of town where you shouldn't be. I have on several occasions. It's very creepy and scary. I got to tell you, I feel a lot better when I have one big yo mama dude with me. It's comforting. You know, if nothing else, I can hide behind that guy. But when you start to understand that God is with you wherever you go, that is life changing. So we all have two choices in life. You can either run away from the challenges that you face, or you can run after what God has for you in your life. You can run away from fear, or you can face it head on. You can run toward your destiny, chase after the God-ordained opportunities in your life. Listen to me, young people. This is for you. Or you can shrink back into safety. As I was preparing this, I remember David and Goliath. You know, it's an amazing story as you read it. Goliath is this big yo mama dude. He's like 9 feet tall. He's massive, very muscular. He's been fighting since he's a child. He was bred to be a warrior, and he's just massive. And this is back in the day where, you know, physical strength was everything. Today, we have guns. Guns are the great equalizer. Doesn't matter how big you are. You know, smallest scrawny guy can still overcome a big yo mama guy if he's a better shot. But not in this day. No. This was, mano y mano, hand on hand. And so the context is the Israelites and the Philistines are standing on opposite hills staring at each other. This goes on for like a month. Nobody can make a move. And this big guy, Goliath, keeps coming out, cursing at them and daring him. Send somebody out. I'll take on anybody you got. You can imagine the scene. Anyway, David is sent by his dad to go check on his brothers because David's a young guy at this point. We don't know how, 14, 15, 16, we don't know. But he's fairly young. And he gets, otherwise, if he'd been older, he'd have been on the lines, right? But he wasn't. And he goes to check on his brothers. And he goes and he sees this big yo mama guy come out threatening everybody. David says, "Well, let's go get him." Everybody says, "You're crazy, man. You can't get him. Shut up." I mean, his brothers are telling him to be quiet. And, you know, but, and I'll tell you what, whenever you're going to do something great, the first thing you run into is people telling you why you can't do it. Great encouragers, these people. You can't do it. You're not strong enough. You're not so smart enough. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough education. You don't have enough this, that, and the other. Don't listen to all the naysayers. You can do it. If God makes a way, you can take the shot. Anyway, David finally talks the king into letting him go. Now, the king, there's no way he thought he would win. He figured, you know, Goliath would just turn him into mincemeat. but maybe it would inspire the others, you know, let's go save this young kid, you know. But David goes out there, and Goliath, he sees someone coming. So he's been begging him for almost a month, send somebody out, let's fight. So finally they send somebody out, and Goliath takes a look at him, and here's this punk kid. He gets mad. He's furious. You can read the story. He's just livid. He says, what am I, a dog? And he gets so he says, I'm going to take you and tear you to pieces and feed your flesh to the birds. And we pick up the story after the Philistines screaming at David. And verse 48, Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Like, what? Are you insane? This kid is not shirking. He goes running towards him. This guy has cojones of steel. I mean, the whole time he's running, all you can hear is clackety, clack, 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 clack. I mean, he's just unreal. Who goes running at this? He runs at him, and it says in verse 49, reaching into his bag, he takes out a stone. He slings it, strikes the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Wow. You can run away from fear, or you can face it head on. David faced it head on. To this day, the nation of Israel celebrates David. And on their flag is the star. It's called the Star of David. Right? It's amazing. Remember, safety may feel good for a while. It gets nervous if you're going to do something you haven't done before. And, you got to give a speech or something. You're terrified. You know, people say that people's greatest fear is to speak in front of a crowd. They say they fear it more than death. I guess the worst thing is would have to be giving a speech at your own execution. You know, this is a terrible day. You know, just afraid. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Step out in faith. You can do it. Safety will feel good for a while, but it leaves you empty. It'll never satisfy you. And some people spend their whole lives. If you've done this, I'm not beating up on you, but even if you're a geezer like me, it's time to break the habit. Quit always hiding in safety. It doesn't satisfy. As we read in my last message, sometimes as Peter, you have to step out of the boat. Take some risks. Have the courage to not be stagnant, not to settle for where you are, not to give up on your future. Maybe it's a dream that you've been afraid to pursue. Maybe it's an addiction that needs to be broken in your life. Maybe it's a mindset that's been poisoning your peace, negative self-talk and nagging self-doubt. Maybe it's simply doing the right thing, but you don't want to do it because it's hard. Whatever it is, have the courage. And like Nike says, just do it. Stop giving lies in your mind permission to stay. Some of us keep replaying old tapes in our heads. What people said, what went wrong, what we think we can't do. Stop giving lies permission to stay. Stop rehearsing the criticisms. Stop reliving old failures. This is a trap. Actually, there's a lot of men who run into it, older men. Because then at some point in your life, I experienced it. I was talking to Jimmy Bratcher. He said he experienced the same thing. We were talking. And I said, man, what is going on? Everything you look back, all you can remember are your failures. Maybe it's because you're coming to the end of the road, you know. And all you can do is look back, you know. I'm not gone yet, but I can see the light from here, you know what I'm saying? There's not that many years left. And you start looking back. And for some reason, you don't look back on what was good. You look back on your mistakes. And if you got it's a trap that a lot of men can fall into and they can become depressed. Don't do it. Quit rehearsing failures in your head. It'll suck the life out of you. Stop accepting defeat before you've even tried. You are not what your fear says you are. You are not what your failures say you are. You're not what your whoever says you are. You're who God says you are. Strong, chosen, equipped, loved, and capable. That's how God views you. Make room for courage. Let the courageous voice inside you rise up and say, I can do it. Well, Pastor, what if I can't do it? Well, then learn from your failures. Learn from your mistakes and try it again. Don't just, you know, I like history. And it's interesting. If you read some of the richest people in the world, how many times they fail, it's stunning. I mean, they'll lose millions of dollars. Millions. We had a guy here once. He was like one of the richest men in Australia, and he was speaking at our church here. And he was talking about how three or four times he just lost massive fortunes. And he'd try again. Now I'm thinking, who keeps investing with this guy? I wouldn't. You've lost millions four different times. Move along, buddy. Go talk to somebody else. But he wouldn't stop. And finally, he succeeded and became one of the richest men in the country. And God was using him to change a lot of people's lives. You know, even if your knees are shaken, even if your voice trembles, step forward anyway, because courage grows as you use it. If you don't use it, it's not going to get any bigger. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the decision to move forward in spite of this. I talked about this 2 weeks ago. It's not the absence of fear. Everybody feels fear, unless you're dumb. Some people are just dumb as bricks. But, you know, God loves them anyway. But they take unbelievable risks. They're just not smart about it. You know, it's everybody. You know, I was talking about my friend Greg Stubbe, a Special Forces soldier who was in Afghanistan, got blown to smithereens. He has incredible stories of heroism on the field. He's coming next week. He'll be here. If you have any guys that could use an inspirational thing, because he's a man's man. He'll have some great stories of how. And these guys, you ask them, were you afraid? Of course they're afraid. Nobody go into war, into battle, is not afraid. If you're not afraid, there's something wrong with you. They all feel fear. The difference is some people let the fear make them hide, and others move in spite of the fear. It's called courage. Don't wait until you're not afraid before you step forward. David faced Goliath, but the giant was still standing there. Esther. Someday I'll preach on Esther. If you've never read Esther, you need to check it out. It's a great account. Here's an idea. Just read it yourself. It's in the Old Testament. Where is it found? It's found in a book called Esther. And it's an amazing story. And Esther takes a huge risk. She approaches the king with courage, but her life was on the line. Jesus went to the cross with courage, but the pain was still real. Courage doesn't erase fear, it overcomes it. The real risk isn't in failing. The real risk is in never trying. Doing nothing guarantees you'll stay exactly where you are. You might stumble, you might fall, but every step you take in courage moves you forward, closer to growth, closer to freedom, closer to destiny. You need to practice courage. You can do it daily. It's not a one-time event. It's a life practice. You practice courage every time you pray when you feel hopeless. Every time you forgive someone when you still feel pain. Every time you try again after disappointment, that's called courage. When you speak the truth when it would be easier to stay silent, that's courage. Courage is when you step out when you're unsure of how it will end. Courage is like a muscle. It grows when you use it. So start where you are. Take one brave step today. Don't wait for fear to go away, because it probably won't. But when you move forward anyway, fear loses its grip on you. Hallelujah. Always remember, God is with you wherever you go. As God said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. And he commands them to be courageous. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That wherever includes the unknown. It includes the messy middle. It includes the scary new thing you're stepping into. You might not know how it'll all work out, but you do know who goes with you. And in the end, that's all that is really required. When God is with you, courage isn't optional. It's inevitable, because his presence produces peace and his power gives you strength. So today, maybe God is asking you, have you lost your courage? It's time to stand up again, dream again, believe again, and hope again. Try again. Stop letting fear write your story. Rip that pen away from it and let faith start writing the story. You can be strong and courageous because God himself says, I will be with you. Now, having said all that, you want to be smart about the risk that you take. Some people take unnecessary risk or really stupid risk. You know how you avoid that? Get advice. Get wisdom. Seek counsel. The Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. Why is that? Because it keeps you from doing the really stupid things. There's safety. Get some advice. You know, but even when you get all the advice, you step out, you can still fail. So what? You pick up. You move forward. I have failed so many times in my life, you have no idea. I told Deanne I want to write my life story. Call it From an Ass to an Asset. I'm still waiting for the asset to kick in. But, you know, you do things. Sometimes you just fail. You know, we just did a series of events earlier this year. I wanted to try doing these couples date nights in performing arts theaters. It's a lot of fun. It's just a neutral place because a lot of times people are afraid to go into churches. So we did four of them in Wisconsin. They were successful. It was a lot of fun. We said, okay, let's take the same thing and let's go south. And we just did this end of September and first part of October. It was an unmitigated disaster. We failed horribly. Lost thousands of dollars. I don't want to tell you how many thousands of dollars. I'm trying not to think about it. But it was a disaster. It was a discouraging. Yes. Does it make me want to give up? No. Why? Because I'm an idiot and I want to keep going forward. I'll figure it out. We learn from it. You learn from your mistakes. If you don't try, you never learn anything. In fact, it's one of the things I knew there was a chance we'd fail. And I remember telling Deanna, you know, I don't want to be one of these guys who, you know, on his deathbed is going, oh, I wish I should have tried that. You know, I tried it. Did it fail? Yeah, it was awful. You can try again? Sure, why not? There's got to be something somewhere that works. Worked in Wisconsin. I don't know why I worked in Wisconsin. They don't like me in the South. I don't know. Maybe they thought I was a Yankee. I am a Yankee. Anyway. Seek advice. Risk is the possibility of harm, but you won't die. That's what if you do it smart, you're not going to die. But you might suffer harm. You might suffer loss. You might have an undesired outcome, all combined with uncertainty that it'll actually happen. A simple way to say it, risk is stepping into the unknown where the outcome could go wrong. Isn't that encouraging? But it also might go right. And this is how you learn. This is how these people, how these business people succeed. That I talked to one couple of months. We were talking about investments. We're not going to invest. Really? Yeah, we invested one thing once. We lost $10,000. We'll never invest again. Seriously? One thing, and you give up. Don't do that. Just be smarter the next time. Learn from it. Be willing to take some risk, or you're not going to get anywhere. There's different dimensions of risk. There's physical, financial, social, emotional, spiritual risks. Why does risk matter? Risk isn't automatically bad. Almost every meaningful achievement in this life requires it. So one of the great thing about doing sports, there's no guarantee you're going to succeed. If you succeed all the time, you're probably a multimillionaire working for some professional sports team. And even then, they don't win all the time. You know? You learn from mistakes. You take risks. Anything you do that means anything is going to be risk. Starting a business. Loving somebody. I know people who just, I tried love and it didn't work out. And I'll never love again. Really? Snap out of it. Stepping into leadership is risky. Standing up for what's right is risky. Trusting God in uncertainty is risky. But there's no growth without risk. Risk is what makes courage necessary. If there's nothing to lose, bravery isn't really required. Just remember, God says, I'll always be with you. Let him lead and guide you. Don't cower in the shadows and be afraid to step out. like Peter. He stepped out of the boat. He said, hey, everybody started to sinking. Yeah, but he's one of the few people who walked on water for a while. And when he started to sink, what happened? Jesus didn't go, serves you right. Stupid idiot, what's the matter with you? He reached over and grabbed him, pulled him up, and they walked back on the water into the boat. Amen. We're going to have our time of communion this morning. This is when we're going to celebrate why we're here. It's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for all of us. His body was broken. His blood was shed so we could have forgiveness of sins. This is what we remember when we take the body and the blood, the bread and the wine this morning. But the Bible says before we do this, we should pause and examine ourselves. So with those words in mind, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads as I pray a prayer for forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take communion this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we shouldn't have done, something that we should have done, but we didn't do. If we haven't loved others as we love ourselves, if we've been hiding in the shadows, fearful and not willing to step out, I ask that for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that you would have mercy on all of us and forgive us of all of our sins. And while heads are bowed and people are reflecting, maybe you're here this morning thinking, you know, I've never really experienced this kind of faith you're talking about. Well, you can. Right now, just in your own words, whisper to Jesus, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can take your first steps of faith here with us this morning and experience God's grace in your life. Amen.